This is the La Mafia Lounge, where we explore topics from breathwork to blockchain that we all need to learn more about, so that we can grow our consciousness, connectivity, and creativity through love. Maybe for the first time ever, we're all now deeply out of our comfort zones at the same time. Like it or not, this gives us the chance and the responsibility to regenerate ourselves, our work, our families and communities, our realities, and even our planet by becoming more human and blazing a new path towards exponential humanity through our connected love for life itself. Love never fails when it's given the chance to perform. Why don't we just make it the starting point of everything we do? The aim of this podcast is to help us all do that with authentic and heartful conversations with La Mafia from all around the world. Thank you for joining us. Get cozy and settle in for a while.
Hello, this is Eda Çarmıklı, and today Cenay Atalay is accompanying us. When I met Cenay almost 6 years ago, with her vibrant energy and captivating laughter, her presence filled the space. I've been privileged to accompany her for all these years and have witnessed her message deepen and her strength expand. Today, as a global innovation strategist and serial entrepreneur, she focuses on designing conscious business models, systems, and cultures that promote regeneration, inclusivity, and diversity. As the founder of The Heroines and co-founder of Conscious Learning Tribe, she has been at the heart of the conscious design and innovation since 2007, and has dedicated her life to personal, communal, and planetary health. She works across culture, business, technology, design, and spiritual realms. She also is on a mission for a children-first world, which promotes the radical inclusion of children in co-creating their futures for the well-being of all. In this podcast, we have dived into interrelational well-being, conscious business and leadership, and woman empowerment. If you want to learn more about Cenay's missions, please visit her platform on theheroines.co.
Hi, Cenay.
Hi, dear. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I find it extremely unique that I'm doing a podcast with you in English, actually. And I celebrate us for that. My heart and my tendency is going to Turkish to share life with you. But however, you are operating not from only in Turkey, from all around the world, and you are right now residing in Ibiza, in a wonderful land on this wonderful planet called Earth, which I'm a little bit jealous of, and I intend to come and visit you soon, like you said.
Yay! Yeah.
I'm sure it accelerates your path and your belief when you're surrounded with such amazing nature and such open-minded human beings around you, because this is a pathless path that we're all taking, just like you, just like me. And that dog as well.
Yeah, I had two dogs.
Yeah, I have one.
This was an approval from the land. That's all right. And Ibiza, not only that it's an amazing island with amazing nature, like our beautiful country, Turkey, but at the same time, there is cultures of protecting nature, art, a lot of innovation when it comes to experimenting with the future of life. But what is very dear to my heart and what helped me transform the last 3 years that I have moved here is that it's a very feminine energy island. And the women here, especially aging women, are so much respected. To me, this was a shocker. And this is, I believe, subconsciously one of the reasons why I chose to be here. I call this land my second home, and now I'm so happy my two daughters as a beautiful young woman, they're also growing up here.
Yes, you're the right. Strawberry team is in Ibiza. Get rid of the Ibiza for that.
I know.
Yes, please send all my love to her. I mean, they literally grew up in front of our eyes as La Mafia and as Joint Idea. We have accompanied their growth. And it's wonderful to see the love, wonderful
time
ladies.
From time to time, they ask about you, about joint idea. We have amazing memories. So many seeds were planted there. I think moving in life, if I look back to the milestones of people, of events, experiences that really made me who I am and helped me take the courageous actions, the bold decisions that I have taken, you have a very important place in my life, in my work, dear Edda, Marcus, the whole gang, you know.
Thank you, lovely.
I'm so happy.
Likewise.
I'm so happy right now we are talking together, just looking back all the amazing milestones. I'm celebrating,
too. The other day we talked with Marcus about that the first phone call you had with Rudy was actually when you were in joint idea, I suppose, that night, you, me and Marcus dancing and singing and stuff. So, you know, we have accompanied each other to a marvelous journey and, you know, watched what we are today, how we became the person that we are today. That's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity.
You always say human algorithm. I think when you are surrounded by amazing people with very important intentions and high attention, then from that field, anything and everything can be born. And you're right. Now you reminded me. I met Rudy, who is my husband, who is my business partner right now, actually together with you for the first time.
Yes.
Yes. It was a joint idea.
Yes. It's amazing how life is magical that way. So I want to start actually with a quote of yours that I read today, which really touched me. So I'm sure it will do so for many others who will listen to this, and it will just set the foundation. Our next level of success won't come from working harder, doing more, or operating in depleting and degrading mode. It is time for us to awaken to our feminine qualities and bringing our whole self to business in harmony with nature. Really, truly, it touched me deeply. It's like a quote that I want to share from Joint Idea this week. It's a beautiful, beautiful quote. And that's your path, actually, bringing those qualities of the feminine energy to be arisen in the world. And again, our path has crossed years later through your heroine's journey. So I would like to talk a little bit about this woman and empowerment and the heroine's journey and what's your intention in creating this wonderful tribe of women all around the world.
So although my passion is bringing the feminine qualities to business and do business as a prayer, most of my life I operated in environments where there was very high toxic masculinity. And I was one of those operating agents. I was a human still, and I always have good intentions. But the way that I was operating was coming from a lot of mental field, projections of what is possible through my belief systems, and kind of not really seeing the potential of what can, because I was thinking silo. And when I discovered that actually these are not working anymore because we are degrading ourselves, I got close to mental burnout when I was pregnant to my second child. And I noticed that I was not happy anymore. I started searching for a way that would bring me this hope, this pull for a future vision. And this is where I started opening myself to not knowing. And in that field of not knowing, I discovered had experiences with so many amazing people like yourself in environments that inspired me, and I had my role to inspire others. It was almost like a flow. And I know in a lot of spiritual wisdoms and in a lot of talks, people talk about this flow, but I really didn't understand what it is until I came to Ibiza. And now I see how when you listen to nature and guided by her, I call her, it's the mother for me, it's the big womb, then I notice my mind doesn't need to get it, but allow yourself there to receive those briefs from nature and then be bold enough to take action with discipline. Blissful actions are discipline. And that requires you to keep yourself as a very clear channel, first to listen, to hear those messages, to be guided. But second, on the physical and emotional level, to have the clarity, the resilience, and the power to take action. There are also a lot of people under saying feminine qualities are just dreaming and floating. Mm-hmm. I like this planet. I like being a human. I like taking action. That's why I believe my role is a puzzle piece to this amazing life, co-evolutionary life, is to receive those briefs and to plant them through hopefully hundreds of thousands and millions of people who can make it together. And I find my way when COVID started that women are the ones who receive the messages better than their male counterparts. Because I think with our moon cycles, with our ability to give birth, regardless of our choice to give birth or not, we are more connected to nature. And we have these qualities of nurturing, nourishing, dealing with chaos, being flexible like water. And when COVID started, when nobody knew what to do, and I was sitting in my house and we have a little farm, I was even restricted to go to the grocery store here. And I noticed, oh my God, I have a farm. I can just plant seeds and I can grow my own veggies. And I had like fruit trees. So we started, Rudy and I started eating from the farm. We grew our own plants. And one thing led to another. This interaction with nature gave me also the courage to humbly start from a space of not knowing. Because, you know, we love bribing with our like big roles and this is my experience, this is what I know. But the question is not what I know. The real curious question is what I don't know. And I said, I don't know. Nobody has an idea what to do with this COVID. And I saw many people going down. They lost it, like it's a spiral down, going to dark, dark places of fear, of trying to control something. Some people getting really, really depressed. Mm-hmm. And I get it. We lose lives, we lose our jobs, and it's not easy. But some of us rise when those moments hit humanity. And when we understand this is only a co-creation and we create these realities, we participate in the creation of these realities as humanity, I believe some people get also motivated to take action. So to me, these are the women, and I invited us to come together, powerful women. I just made an announcement. Women, let's come together. Let's design conscious business models, projects that can give us hope and pull us to futures that we are desiring. So the heroine's journey is the story that we have been following. What it is where the hero's journey ends, the heroine's journey starts. The hero's journey is glorifying the personal victory, right? Like you slay the dragons, you win a fight, and then you become this hero. But the heroine's journey is exactly starts there. And this is, I believe, where as humanity, we are going through that. We see now the personal victories, the silo thinking, although it makes money, is not good enough. And there is this hole inside us, and there is this feeling that this is not it. We are bigger than this, better than this. But the heroine, in that sense, has no outer fight, but an inner inquiry of first accepting the feminine qualities and making peace with nature, mm-hmm. and then integrating it with her masculinity and becoming a whole human. She doesn't slay dragons. There are no enemies in the heroine's journey. So the heroines, the platform that I initiated is a benchmark to that. Let's discover what is our inner world's require, what we have been denying that we need to integrate. And that happens with nature, that happens with each other, but the biggest job is always within us. And from that level of inquiry, we design conscious business models and projects. And in the online labs, we experiment what it means to do business as a prayer, a business that is not just about making money, which is totally amazing. To me, money is also a sacred tool for us to discover our potential, to honor each other. But at the same time, it's just a tool. Business is coming together and making prayers, intentions, and achieving them, not just for ourselves, but all the living beings that has ever lived on this planet and that are going to come. Because it's this presence, this frequency, this integration that we are seeking for. We are very smart creatures. We know so many things. So that now we can humbly surrender to what we don't know in our human psyche. I think amazing potentials are opening up already. Look at our children. Look at all these amazing entrepreneurs, impact investors that are emerging from all around the world. Look at all the trends that are happening. There are so many positive, hopeful things that are happening. It just gives me so much joy to be alive right here, right now. I feel so privileged. I feel so grateful. And the heroines to me, in these last 2 years, I also had my difficult moments, really dark moments, but being together with other amazing women who have a mission to own their inner power and to transcend the shame and guilt that we have acquired, especially when we are doing business, especially when as women we are talking about money, to sacredness, that has helped me a lot. And what happens, like we always do, I kind of co-birthed a platform that became my inspiration and my guide. And now with the heroines, I'm doing experiences in Ibiza. Each time we come together from all around the world, I do online labs, which they are starting also soon in November. I'm starting the next one. There are women who are participating from Turkey, but also from Peru, from Canada, and from all those amazing locations that I haven't visited myself, some of them, and we learn from each other's cultures. And one thing as a pattern we do, Eda, we bless the water.
Yes, I was going to ask about that water.
Yeah, and it is just a process that gives me more and more clarity. When women come together, everything becomes more clear. I think we have been denying the power of togetherness, but in the ways that brings our intention and attention together with some rituals, yes, but also with an intention to bring it forward, not just a prayer. I love action as well. So that's what is the heroines, and the heroines is now more evolving into more focused areas. And I would love the Turkish amazing fiery woman, the wise woman of Turkey, to participate more and more to our platform. And thank you
for giving
the word to it. Yeah, I'm super. I can talk until.
Yeah, I know you can, and you talk so beautifully that I don't want to cut it. And if you guys could see her shining face, it becomes even much amazing to just listen to her with her new wonderful haircut. So we're rocking this gray hair in our head as the future of woman. And one thing you kept on repeatedly saying is nature, nature, nature. And as feminine, we are much closer to nature, that's for sure. With the cycles of the moon, we feel that, you know, what is happening outside, like people say astrology, is it real, it's not real. As women, I don't think if we are in touch with our true essence, we don't question that because we know it's true. We feel it in our body. What's happening out there is also affecting the way we operate in this earth. And with that, you did open your little farm and you're growing your vegetables and stuff. But I also want to talk about your choice of food that you're intaking into your marvelous body, the path that you have chosen there. You're a very advocate vegan, I know. So maybe you can say a couple words about that and how that affects the conscious business modeling, how that helps us to look into the world when we are more aware of what we take inside. The words even we use or the way we respond, the world changes. So I want to hear a little bit about that from you.
We are the seed of everything that we are doing, right? But the seed is shaped through our thoughts, our intentions, the words that we speak of. You are a great role model about reminding us of the power of words, for example. I love your newsletter, Seda.
I thank you.
The food that we eat, the bread we, the bread, the air we breathe, the people around us, these are all contributors or distractors to what our hearts really wish for. That's why when I was talking about this intention and attention, it's not just about designing a business model or speaking on a podcast, but it is actually when you wake up, what am I thinking? When you are drinking water, because the thoughts, the intentions, they can crystallize very easily. Like we know this Japanese research on water, and our bodies are water. So if I'm thinking to myself really bad thoughts and I'm eating the most organic, healthiest food on this planet, still, you know, it might not work. And that's why my invitation is not just this diet or that diet, but don't intake or create violence. And from that, I think everybody has their own ways, has their own inner wisdom. And I believe this universe, the human consciousness, is ever expanding. So everybody is searching their own peace in what they eat, who they surround themselves with, what they think, how they act, how they move their body or not, is their own choice. Let's just be curious and open. Let's listen. And let's stop violating ourselves, each other, and this beautiful planet and amazing earthlings who can feel what we are feeling. My choice of being vegan, being plant-based, is because I don't want to intake the sadness or the fear or the suffering of animals who have been tortured for many years before they come to the plate. And I feel I'm a part of it. Mm-hmm. And I would not say this is the right way for anyone. And I believe evolution has its own ways. Nobody is superior to another. I think the biggest suffering and violence that we do to ourselves and each other is to say that I know better than you do. Mm-hmm. I believe in horizontal relationships. In the heroines, as long, you know, we talk about gender equality, but it's a container for inclusivity and diversity. And it always comes to horizontal relationships, that every participant is a guide and every guide is a learner in the platform. And when I am talking about the food and everything, I would also like to invite us to just be horizontal with other humans, other species. Don't see yourself better or worse, because that's a never-ending suffering. If I think, oh, Eda is more beautiful than I am, or she is more elegant with her words, or if I am better than her, that's a competition mm-hmm. that really destroys us. And that eliminates us to have really deep relationships. And only in deep, intimate relationships, we exist in relationships. We happen in those relationships. You keep on talking about human algorithms. I love mm-hmm. it. We are algorithms and we exist on those relationships. And I am not something separate than what I take in my body. I become that when I eat it. As we digest food, and that organism, that being, digests us. We are in each other. So if we are curious about what is happening to me in the process of eating this and after this, then I think we can have a whole new conversation. But I would like everybody to have their own inner conversation first. I don't know what I don't know, Eda. I'm just experimenting.
You don't say. Yes, you are. We all are.
There are obvious things, especially in the conscious business model. We care about the impact we are creating. So especially there are some things that we need to, as women, knowing what it means to give birth, to breastfeed, to have our own babies with our own milk. There are some things we, as women, I think we need to be really conscious about, role model, and as much as possible become positive activists to change how things are being done. Enough suffering we have seen.
That's true. And also that will come to your next project that I want to talk about, because this world that we have seen, okay, we're adults and we're living in majority of my culture, things like, you know, it's been like this and it's continued to be like this. Nothing's going to change and people do not change and all that stuff. We beg to differ. However, when we think about the world, not for us, but for the next generation, for our children, that's where I think every woman more than men draws a line. That's where you say, no, I don't want it to continue like this. I want a different reality for my children. And that comes to your project after your kids. You gave birth to this project called Children's First World. So I would like to hear, I would like people to hear a little bit about that project.
Thank you. So yeah, I named it Children First World because, you know, first world countries, I was so fed up with those silos. And look at life. It's a children first world, you know, like the humanity, when we give birth, we change, they evolve us to think better, to run the extra mile. And what would really bring us all together? If you're not a psychopath, you like children. Even if you don't have children, you empathize because we are all children first. You know, you were a child first. So everybody has a kind of a memory, a reference to being a child. Mm-hmm. But not just us, also nature protects the newborns. And that organic evolution has inspired me to come up with this project, the Children First World. And I started very ignorant, just on the little part of it, how we can prioritize the well-being of all children in all the decisions we make. So that was my question, which then gave birth to conscious business model design, which I love and I use it everywhere. But what I discovered is that as I was working on this project, I'm like, maybe I should listen to children, right? Duh. And we start listening to children. And as we start listening to children using methods like Socratic dialogues, entering their games, we say, oh, wow, they totally think different. Even when I was a child, I wasn't thinking like this. And came the third level, the third pillar, follow the design leadership of children. Because children, they are the new operating system, and we cannot lead from behind. Mm-hmm. So these are children are our guides to think more expansive, flexible, and more creative. They are the human innovation role models, if we truly observe. And as we start, we started including children in our design processes, and came a point we co-created with Meir Ben-Ezra a method called design playing. And following the games of children, adults are taking the principles out of it, out of those games, and designing new products and services. But then the real jewel came out of it. The fourth pillar, that accept yourself and the other as we are, mm-hmm. because we are all children first. And the acceptance and honoring and taking care, really care of your inner child, and then being able to serve from that level has been the fourth pillar. It has always been my passion project, but with the COVID, I understood women who give birth to entire humanity are my most important impact point to work with, because there are like 1/4 of all human population is children. But mm-hmm. if we try to reach out to all the children right now, it might take time. And what I noticed, children are not the problem point. We are the problems when we are shadowing our children. We are not ready to listen to them. And we are the ones who are excluding them. Who designs a city that is not according to children? Come on, you must be crazy, but this is what we are doing. Look at Istanbul. Is it a children first city? Or is it a car-first city? And you understand what you prioritize. So to me, children are not the ones. Children are to be invited, to be listened. But for me, who has the sensitivity, the intelligence, and flexibility and more importantly, the courage to adopt these type of approaches to design futures starting from their own energetic presence right now are women, because we are the womb of humanity. And guess what? Why I keep on saying nature? Because all humanity's womb is nature and it's water. And to me, this is the connection. That's why now my focus in integrating all these principles of peace, of children first, is working with women who work with purifying inner and or outer waters. So this is my focus now. And I believe with that focus, I found my purpose. And from there, I will keep on flowing to the from rivers to oceans, sometimes become a drop in another's cup. But I know this is what connects us. It's time to flow, my dear. It's time to flow, to purify inner and outer waters. And then we are unstoppable. You cannot stop water.
That's true. That's true. Feel like water, my love. So yes, that's true. And also through other communities, I have some connections now that you're talking that I would like to introduce regarding the water projects and stuff. So see, one conversation leads to another story.
And but I love this energy of water. Each time when I say water, comes a connection which becomes a magical connection. And I say I am guided by her. Water is guiding me because I keep myself as much as I can as a clear channel in service. So that's what I am doing. And thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
I would be delighted. So we're talking about conscious business leadership and conscious business, the model design. The majority of the companies possibly who are working in companies, the people who are listening today, don't know what is conscious business. What is that it differentiates itself from business itself? Can you give a little example? If I'm a company and I decide to be a conscious business, what do I do? How do I start?
I love that question. Thank you so much for making it practical. So I call it 5D conscious business model design, because there are layers that most of us are aware of. Like if you just Google conscious business, conscious leadership, you will see what is your impact in your communities, in your workforce, on the planet. You will come up with sustainable development goals. You will see how it affects 7 generations to come and all those things. And they are amazing. There are certifications around it, a lot of trainings around it. But what I love starting with is to start with yourself. And because it's a never-ending inquiry, how do you make it practically work? I have noticed over the last 2 decades that I have been working with all myself and with other leaders around the world, sometimes we are inspired to do something out of a need, out of a vision that is for the well-being, for us, for our communities, or for the planet. And this is amazing. That's the right pull. But sometimes we get excited out of greed. Mm-hmm. And that comes from an unmet need that sometimes maybe coming from your childhood, maybe you just want to prove yourself. Maybe you just want to control. Maybe you just want to, I don't know. There are so many greedy initiations, even under conscious topics that I see. And we all have it. Huh? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is evil. No, I have it. You have it. All these unfinished circles. But the important part for the conscious leaders is that once we understand the difference, we don't act out of greed. And not acting out of greed is a very interesting job, especially when you are conditioned in your work environment, in your business models, by media or by your communities, this is the way to go. How are you going to change the direction of things? This is what's expected of you, like politicians saying the most popular things to get voted and sometimes lying. Mm-hmm. How are you going to get out of that loop? And for me, very practically, I put the compass on the values of the leader. And the core values of the leader, we define 5 values of that leader. But when we define those values, we work on the meanings of it. And the meanings of it, for that, I have a very simple exercise I love doing. I invite leaders to describe what is their value and why it is important. But then almost always they start explaining from a victim consciousness, from the lack of it, from the anger of it, or what happens if it's not there, how it's hurting the planet. You know, you can be an activist for nature. You love planet Earth, so-called, but you can be so distracted and so angry with humans. God, as humans, we are nature too. Are you aware of it? So this is the lack and the greed and the victim consciousness. Mm-hmm. So from there, we move to a second step, which is the manifestor consciousness, where I invite the leaders to think of why that value is important for another. And they start creating stories that are not tied to their victim story, which is a push. And this has been the masculine energy, the manifestor consciousness that came to play, especially with successful startups. You know, business, being a business leader is like achieving things. Yes, yes, yes. And we use that and we celebrate it as a step. But then I invite the leaders to the third step, which is the channeler consciousness, where we do meditate on the abundance of that value in the existing world without changing anything. Because as we are speaking, although we say, oh, I want more peace, if I close my eyes and I meditate on it, I can see the abundance of peace in you, between us right now, in how a symphony is composed, in nature, in my family, in a bird nest. Like, it's all based on nature. The well-being is the state of nature, and it's peaceful. So then when I start receiving this energy, this is interesting, Eda. We record these things, and these become very interesting words that start defining a new way of articulating what is important to you. And it comes also for your business, for your family. And when leaders become aware of that energy, of course, we can go back, but you can always move forward. Mm-hmm. And then I invite to the fourth. Is that enough? No, it's always enough, but there is also more joy. On the fourth step, I invite them to I am consciousness. So we start articulating our needs in the I am language. And when I am peace, oh, wow, I embody peace. There is no silo between me and peace. I'm not just channeling. I am peace. Do you know what happens when I step in a room, when I come into a podcast? How peace talks to her children. How peace can find its way in a business model, how it will change an ecosystem. Wow. And then on the fifth level, I invite, if it's in the heroines, I do it with the heroines. If it's in a business concept with both sexes, in the conscious leadership, I invite them to promise and to take action from that level of frequency. And we start designing from there. And Eda, 100% of the time, everything changes when you start like this. Because there is inspiration there. There is flow there. There is courage there. It's the love frequency. You know that very well. And I make it very practical. And I love that.
Yeah, at the end of the day, all you wanted to see is change in the world. So that's the path to that.
And from there, when you tie it to an SDG, from there, when you think about technology, the designs become fluid, the designs become amazing. And those people who experience this process and who adopt it as a practical tool in their everyday decisions, they become a different leader. And to me, consciousness is not to achieve something or that you are going to put on your wall or in your HR policy. It's everything, but that is everything in you. And this is how we change the codes. This is how we change the algorithms in your onboarding.
And it's a muscle that the more you start using, the more that becomes bigger and bigger, and it becomes you eventually. So Janai, I mean, among everything, thank you so much for coming up with five pillars that people who ever listens can, of course, can attend your workshops and your journeys that you're designing. But again, they can reflect back to themselves and how they are, what their values are and where do they resonate. Is it coming from the victim mind or from the manifestor's part of the story?
And you just don't even need to ask. Like, you just stop, define it, and if it's uncomfortable, it's like victim. If it's about convincing another, it's manifester. If it's about seeing the abundance of something, the gratitude, it's channeler. And then I am, and then deciding from that level, what is success to your business? What is the action that I'm, what am I going to say to that person on the phone? Doesn't need to be a business model. It changes everything. Do it with that higher frequency. And if not, you're there. If you're not there, please don't teach anyone what to do. Don't lead from it if you are on the victim consciousness, because all we are going to inspire is more victimhood.
And we don't need that. Especially for the next generation, we don't need that. I hope to see more courageous.
My teenagers don't listen to their parents, darling.
Yeah, don't say that. I have a teenager.
I think
they will never not listen to us. They are coded not to listen to us. That's their ages. Thank you, darling.
Just listen to them.
I think we should listen to them. And more than that, like at the beginning, I told you, we are here also, no matter how much we try and work and do, we're still expanding and we're still becoming and we're still on the journey. And our vessel just, you know, expands more and more with each experience. And I say thank you to my daughter for expanding my vessel every day. I'm not going to lie. I enjoy that teenage years. I think I will miss it. So thank you so much for your time, for your wonderful, wonderful words, for your amazing heart opening up like flawlessly. It's just flowing. I feel you as water right now. I wish everybody did. And thank you, my love. And when you're in Istanbul, we are waiting to hug you and caress you like always.
And please come to Ibiza, and I miss you. I miss Istanbul, and we are together around Mediterranean. This water is connecting us, and it's just a matter of really serving to why we are here, where we are right now. I think it's the best option for us right now.
It is, and it's an amazing time. Amazing time to be here. I thank you, my love.
Let's drink one glass of water after this.
Done deal. I'm already doing, but I will have another one. Thank you.
Sağ olun, dostum.
Cheers, thank you.